Good evening, everybody. We are in Parashat Va'era. Ruach Atah Adonino Eloheinu Melech Haolam She'akol Ni'a B'dvaro.
Amen.
Parashat Va'era, we cannot approach it if we don't look at the end of the last Parasha. Why? Because at the end of the last Parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling God, what's happening here? You send me to Pharaoh in order to make things better, and I went to Pharaoh, and what happened?
Worse.
Things got worse. And you know, from one point of view, look at Moshe's chutzpah. This guy has got a chutzpah on him, like talking with God like this. You do what God tells you to do and shut up. That's it. You're just a messenger. You're not. And we want to see how is God reacting to this approach. Like he says, "Lama areota lama ze? Why did you make things worse? Why did you send me?" Well, that's what you say. You tell God. So then in answering, what atatire, now you will see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. What kind of answer is this? Why have you done this? Mm-hmm. You will see. That's an answer? It's not an answer. Okay, so maybe the answer is in our parasha. Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe. And God talked to Moses. Vayomer elav and told him, I am God. Vayra el Avraham, and I showed myself to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, Be'el Shaddai. That's a name of God. And my name, Hashem, I didn't make myself known to them. So when we look at it now, this is like telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he is on a much higher level than Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Could it really be?
No.
So let's understand what's going on here. So first of all, it's very strange this pasuk. Vayedaber Elokim. Vayedaber is always a tough stuff. Mm-hmm. Elokim also is Midat Adin. Yeah. So Vayedaber Elokim, tough. And then, Vayomer Ela Vayomer is soft. And Hashem is Chesed. Yeah. So what's going on here? In the same Pasuk, toughness, Din, Chesed, what's going on? So first of all, Chaim HaKadosh says very simple. We can explain it in a very simple way. After Moshe Rabbeinu is asking his chutzpedik question, so God is telling him in a tough way, I am God. I am judgment. Who are you? How are you Bar Minan? How dare you talk like with me like this? And then, okay, Vayomer Hashem, and then I want to tell you, I am not Din, I am Mercy, I am Chesed. Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. In other words, what God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu and telling us, even if sometimes we look at things and we think God is doing this terrible thing to us, we don't see the picture, because God doesn't do anything terrible to us. Whatever God is doing to us is in order to educate us, is in order to teach us, is in order to bring us to the good point. Because God is all chesed. And even Elohim is chesed. So what is really God telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayedaber Elohim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Hashem. You have to understand that behind everything, behind judgment, and without all the things you see, who is behind it? Midat HaChesed. Hashem. So, what is this to do with the answer? We still got no answer. Why have you done what you've done? And now he's telling him, you know, I revealed myself to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in a name which is El Shaddai. But to you, I revealed myself the same with the name Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei. What is the difference? Till now, everything was going with the nature. In other words, nature is God. But nature's got laws, and everything was going through nature. Even the miracles, they were always connected to the nature. From now on, everything is changing. This is not going to be nature anymore. It's going to be above nature and even against nature. Why? Very simple. Now, we have a moment when Am Yisrael are really so involved with idol worshipping that there is, in 2 minutes, there is nobody to take out. There is no Bnei Yisrael, because they're all so involved with the Egyptian that there is nothing there anymore. So we need to do something very extreme in order to take them.
Wake them up.
Well, to wake them out. So what do? I reveal myself now in a way that never ever before I revealed myself to anybody. In order to make everybody know that I am God, I am the only God, there is nobody else, and I am here for you, and I am looking after each one of you as gacha pratit. In other words, that's why I need now to reveal myself in a different system. And that's why you're asking, why have I done wrong? Why did I send you? What happened that things got worse? Because this is not a normal nature redemption. This is above nature, against nature. When you have night and the day comes, what's happening? Slowly but surely, the light comes out and the darkness gets less and less, and there is more and more light till it's daylight. That's through nature. But now it's a different thing. So in order to make sure that everybody realizes what's going on here, first of all, what do? I make it even darker. It's going to be so dark that you cannot even see the goodness. It's so dark. Everything is dark. Terrible. But from this darkness will come the great light of the redemption, of the Geula. That's an answer. Now we understand what's going on. Moshe is asking, why have you done what you've done? You sent me to save them, and instead of doing good, I'm doing worse. So God is answering him, Ata, now you will see. From this darkness will come the redemption in a way that it never ever before happened. So why do we need this? It gets to the same question. Why do we have 10 plagues? Why not 8? Why not 7? Why not 6?
You need a minion.
You need a minion. Okay. Why a minion? Okay. And then another thing. After 5 plagues, Pharaoh wants to send Am Israel.
Yeah.
And what is God doing? Hardening his heart.
Yeah.
So where is the free will? And you know what? Okay, you're hardening his heart. Okay, give him another plague. Why 10? What's in this number 10? Has it anything to do with the revealing of God as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in this special name? When the world was created, how many witnesses were there?
None.
Nobody. So what was happening is, through the generation, there were Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and then it starts to fade. People worship idols, and more people went. And even this small family who was holding the torch becoming a candle, and the candle becoming like nothing in a minute, a match, and then, it's going to disappear.
But yes. When Hashem created the world, He created also in 10
sayings.
So 10 is maybe a very special.
What? What is God going to prove now? That He created the world.
Then
so how do you do this?
With the prayer.
With 10 plagues. That each one of them is one of the 10, of one of the thing, one of the says that God created the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's 10. Yeah, you got the answer. That's why it's 10. You have also 10 commandments.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything is connected.
Yeah.
7 and 10, since we are lucky numbers.
Yeah, because seven.
And ten, seven is also.
Seven is the seven sefirot. By the way, the Kabbalah also, there are 10 sefirot.
Yeah, yeah.
10 counting.
Yeah.
And 7 are those that we deal with,
yeah.
Which is this world. And then you have 3 that we don't deal with them, they are up there. And that's exactly the same story here. But here, God is giving 10 plagues in order, because there is no other way to give the whole lesson. And who is He giving this lesson to?
Israel.
Not to the Egyptian?
No. Jewish people no. more than Egyptians.
Why?
Because they
because what you said in the beginning.
What did I say? I forgot
they
already.
Were so deep in the darkness.
Yes.
So that you have to wake up that. So why how you this tent
so
was to wake them
what,
up?
What play what role do the Egyptian play here?
What role?
Yes. What's their role here in this whole story?
From whom?
They've got to let the Jewish people go out of Egypt.
You see, the Egyptian, from one side, we are not going to teach them any lesson. You know why?
There is no.
Because in the next parsha, we'll see, the next,
yeah.
A few, three, four parshas, they're not there anymore.
That's right.
So there is no reason to teach them anything.
That's
he has to punish them because the promise is going to punish them. Okay.
Okay.
So we understand now that the lesson is for Am Yisrael. And this is what he's telling here. If we look, we'll see something very interesting. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Vav, Pasuk 13. Now, when you go, when Moshe is being sent to Pharaoh, or is going to say, be sent, what is his mission? To tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Yes? Okay, so let's see what's written here. So his mission should be, God should tell him, go to Pharaoh, and tell him, let my people go. What's written here? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, ve'el Aaron, ויצבם אל
בני ישראל.
What he is going to tell בני ישראל, let my people go? And where is Paro? Later on. So first of all, you go to who?
To בני
ישראל. The Rebbe Mikotsk says, if you think, Moshe Rabbeinu, that your problem is to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt, you're mistaken. The problem is to take Egypt out of Am Yisrael.
Certainly, yeah.
And that's exactly what's written here. God is telling Moshe, first of all, you go to Bnei Israel. And then, when you tell Bnei Israel, and they accepted the mission, and they accepted the message, then you go to Pharaoh. Because otherwise, there is no reason to go to Pharaoh. He says, you come to Pharaoh, okay, let my people go. Okay, let them go. Nobody's going. They're all idol worshippers. So first of all, you have to convince Am Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Where do we see it? When we go back, we see something very interesting. When God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he reveals himself in a special way to him, he tells him like this. I heard Am Yisrael crying and I come to, I want to save them. Lachen, Pasuk Vav, the beginning of the Parsha, Pasuk 6. Lachen emor livnei Israel, and you tell me if you see here something that comes again and again and again. Lachen emor livnei Israel, ani Hashem, ve'otzeti etchem, and I'll take you out mitachat tzivlot Mitzrayim. Ve'itzalti etchem ma'avodatam, I'll save you from the work. Ve'ga'alti etchem, and I will save you with zroa netuya, with a holding arm, and בשפטים גדולים, ולקחתי אתכם לי לעם, והייתי לכם לאלוקים, וידעתם כי אני השם אלוקיכם, המוציא אתכם מתחת סבלות מצרים, והבאתי אתכם אל הארץ אשר נסעתי ידי לתת אותה לאברהם, ליצחק ליעקב, ונתתי אותה לכם מורשה, אני השם.
אני השם.
אני השם, אני השם, אני השם. What is he telling Moshe Rabbeinu? You go and tell them, if they think I'm going to just take them out of Egypt and like to have fun in the desert, no, that's not the mission. First of all, they have to understand
that
I am God. They have to get out of the idol worshiper and be with me. I am God. He says, like he tells him, וידעתם כי אני השם אלוקיכם המוציא אתכם מתחת סבלות מצרים. You have to accept me as God. As your God. And when you accept me as your God, then I will take you out of Egypt. You see, what is this all telling us? We have a fight, a big fight. A big fight with this world around us. The Egyptians are everywhere. Impurity. Everything is around us is like people running after more and more satisfactions. And they need now. And more and more. I was talking the other day with this guy, and it's so unbelievable. You know, in old times when you had to prepare dinner, it took you time. If you did a wash, it took you a lot of time. There were no machines, no nothing, and everything was taking not double the time, 10 times more, 50 times more, and people were calm. They had time. You could find them enjoying themselves on the porch, from the air. Today, You put the dinner in the micro, 2 minutes it's ready. You put the clothes in the washing machine, half an hour it's ready. Then you put it in a dryer. You don't have to put it on, you put it in the dryer. And then everything is minutes. Do we have more time?
No.
Why?
It's so short.
Why? Why? What happened?
Because we have running after too many things.
Exactly. They had 35 hour a day in those days.
Yeah.
Too many distractions.
That's exactly our fight. To understand and realize that God is here and we should go back to God and don't look at all the things happening around us, because this is exactly the problem with Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I am God. Who do I worship? Me. What do we do? Who do we worship? Sure. Unfortunately, sometimes
money.
We worship us. Yeah. Us. I. This is Pharaoh. Because we have to worship God. Because you see, we have, as I think we talked about it last week, we have me, a fake me, and we have the true me. What is the fake me? All the desires that I want for myself, for myself. Who is the real me? The neshama. That's what we are, the neshama. The real me. See, this creates a question. Why, after 5 plagues, God is forcing Pharaoh not to send Am Israel? So it means there is no free will. Where is the free will? And I'll ask you another question. The Gemara says, if somebody doesn't obey the Beit Din to do something, sometimes they have the right to torture him and to, in other words, make him say, Rotze ani. And this is very strange. You come with a gun to a guy and tell him, okay, give a divorce to this woman, or do this mitzvah, or do the other mitzvah. He says, yes, of course, I want to do it. What do you want to do it? There's a gun to his head. So where is the free will?
Well, they say he really does want to.
In other words, what is free will?
He really does want to.
What is free will? My real will. What I really want
to do.
What I really want to do. Now, what is Pharaoh really wanting to do? Does he really want to send Am Israel?
No.
So his free will is not to send Am Israel. What's happening? He's not sending Am Israel. So there's no problem with the free will. That's it. The same thing is with the Jew. A Jew, when you force him to do a mitzvah, till he says, Rotze ani, I want to do it, what is his free will?
No.
The neshama. What is the neshama? We talk. That's exactly what you said. Now it's the fake me. You have to make the difference between the fake me and the real me. The fake me is Yetzer Hara. He's him, and he tells you, take. But the real me is the neshama. But unfortunately, neshama is in the body, so the neshama's got problems. But if I would ask the neshama, what do you want to do? Do you want to listen to God? Do you want to be connected to God? Or do you want to be connected to evil? What would the neshama say?
No question about it.
No question about it. So in other words, the free will of a Jew is to do what God wants him to do. So even if he's being forced to do a mitzvah, what is his real will? To do the mitzvah. But unfortunately, Yetzer Hara doesn't let him. So if you take the Yetzer Hara away, in this case with a gun, so Etzera is not there anymore. So if it's not there anymore, the free will is. It's a philosophical question, which is very interesting to understand and realize what's really inside me. And the real truth is, that's what the Parsha is trying to tell us. Look at Pharaoh. This Pharaoh is making himself as God. So what is God telling Moshe? The first, we have 10 plagues divided to 3 sections. And in each one of the 3 sections, we have the first time he meets Pharaoh where?
In the palace. In the Nile.
No, on the way to the river. Why? And in what time do you do it? When it's happening? Early in the morning. Early in the morning. Why?
He goes to make his necessities.
But he is God.
Yeah, that's why
nobody has to.
He gets a nobody.
So where is Moshe Rabbeinu meeting him?
In the
in the middle of his way to do what he has to do in the Nile. And now, are you God?
Of course, to show him that he's.
If you're God, let's talk another hour. Till you will do it here. You're not a God. You're a human being like everybody. So in each one of the three sections, the first time he's meeting Pharaoh on his way to the river. The second time is in the palace. You will see. It's in all the three. And the third time is with no warning, with no nothing, just bring a plague.
Yeah, right.
And it's a very clever system because it's, first of all, to prove Pharaoh who is God. Because you know, you think to go to meet Pharaoh in his palace, not invited, because I'm sure that Pharaoh didn't invite Moshe Rabbeinu to come to his palace and warn him about plagues and giving plagues. But Moshe Rabbeinu is there. How does he get there?
Right.
There are lions, there are guards, there are cannons, there are tanks, there are who knows what. And Moshe Rabbeinu is just going.
He knows the back door from when he was a child.
He lived there, he knows the secret traps.
He doesn't have any secret traps. He just goes, and when they see Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody goes away. Make a way for Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the messenger of God. And the third time, it's been no warning, and the plague comes. And as we said, what the plague wants to tell us is three things. The first thing, telling Pharaoh, but it's really telling the Pharaoh inside us, because he said it's everything for us. I want to show you that I am God. You said, who is God? You want to know who is God? I am God. Hi, how are you? Drach, boom, bam, get a plague. You still don't believe? Okay, another plague. Now you know that I am God. Another plague, three. Okay, you've got three. Now you say, okay, there is a God, but he's up there. He doesn't care about me. So the second section is to show that God is really making the difference between the human beings, and you see that Am Israel are not getting any plagues, and the Egyptians are getting. You see animals that normally are in the desert or who knows where coming into the houses of the people. And you see a lot of things that show you that God is controlling everything that is happening here. He not only created the world, he is also here to make sure that everything works the way he wants it to work. And then the third one is, there is nobody else. En od milvado. There is only one God. And this is exactly the story of the creation. And this is why, you know Sefer HaKuzari?
Yeah.
Sefer HaKuzari, when this king wants to worship God, and he does certain things, and an angel reveals himself to him and tells him, wow, you're a nice guy, you've got very good intention, but what you're doing is no good. So the Rav Neugershal explains, there is something very interesting here. Why? Why isn't this angel telling the king of Khuzar what should he do? Okay, like God came to Am Yisrael, gave them the commandments. Tell king of Khuzar, here are the commandments. That's what you have to do in order to worship me in the right way. But he's not doing it. He's only telling him, you're not in the right way. What's behind it? And the king of Khuzar understands. Because you see, when you learn something that somebody feeds you, and you don't ask questions, you don't make inquiries by yourself, it's going to come here and very soon come out. But if you make the inquiries, if you ask the question, and if you find the answer, then it's going to stay inside you. And that's what the king of Khuzar is doing. So the Jews are not even in the... He doesn't even think about the Jews. He thinks about the philosophers, the Christians and the Muslims. And he's sending for them and he's talking with them. And right away, after a few words, he understands that the philosophers don't know what they're talking about, the Christians don't know what they're talking about, and also the Muslims. We're not going to go to the whole thing, because what we want to know is what's happening with the Jews. So eventually he understands that he's got no other option. He has to call this Jewish rabbi. So he calls the Jewish rabbi, Yehuda Halevi, and asks him the question. Tell me, who do you believe in? And he's answering him, I believe in God that took us out of Egypt. And the king of Khuzar looks at him and says, oh, I knew I shouldn't have sent for you. What a stupid answer. Everybody I sent here and asked him tells me he believes in God that created the world. And you believe in God that took you out of Egypt? Big deal. That's what your big God is doing? And then what is he telling him? You go and ask the others. If there is somebody in this world who doesn't believe that God took who?
The Jews
out of Egypt. And now I want to ask you, why did God take the Jews out of Egypt and not the Christians and not the Muslims? And they all believe in it. So now, King of Khuzar started to be curious. He wanted to know. And that's how the book of Khuzar starts. And then there's the whole story, how he proves him that our religion, our belief is the real one. And this is exactly what's happening here. That's Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's why Yetziat Mitzrayim is so important. That's why we remember Yetziat Mitzrayim morning and night. And that's why one day in the year we sit the whole night and tell about it. Because unfortunately we are surrounded with a lot of pharaohs, with a lot of desires, with a lot of tumah. And sometimes we forget that there is a God there who created the world, who does everything, and he is the only one. There is nobody else. So we should remind ourselves all the time. And how do we remind ourselves? One of the basic of Emunah is Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because everybody believes in it. And this is the real proof that God is the one and the only one, and there is nobody else. So now we start to understand why God reveals himself in this way to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why we have 10 plagues and not 5, 6, or 7. Why did God make his Pharaoh hardened, and still there is no problem with the free will? And we also understand that the basic of our tradition, of our Emunah, is Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's why we see with the 10 plagues that God is revealing himself. In every plague, he's showing us one part of the creation. And Bezrat Hashem, when we learn this, we are also part of it. And when we sit on the Seder night, you know, always I tell myself, you know, it's a shame it's not connected to more to Leila Seder. But it's a preparation. We start to prepare ourselves now for this night. Because everything we're learning through this parashot is really what we have to talk on Leila on Seder night.
Yeah. And next week, Seder.
Yes, and the next one. So.
Did you mention that the Christians don't count the Ten Commandments like we do?
No, I didn't mention it.
Oh, maybe the last time, maybe. They don't have the leaving Egypt in there.
No, they have. Say, no,
they don't.
No, they believe in the Old Testimony, no, but they have a new one.
they don't worship the same God we do. Because our God took us out of Egypt, their God didn't take them out of Egypt. That's a fact.
They didn't exist then.
No, their God, his ancestors were saved from Egypt.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The thing is that,
no, the problem with the Christians is very simple. The problem with the Christians is that they are idol worshipper more than the Muslim. The Muslims are not idol worshipper. The Muslim, right. You've got no problem to go into a mosque. But you're not allowed to go into a church.
They can't possibly believe in the same God that we do. Our God never tells us to go put bombs on our children and kill somebody.
That's the Muslims.
That's their God. It's not the same God. I agree.
No, it's not. What's the same God? There is only one God.
Exactly.
The problem is that everybody tries to translate things the way he wants.
They can't stand the fact that we have the one God.
But the real truth is, do you know what they can't stand?
What?
That we don't do our job.
We don't do our job. That's a different story.
That's the main problem.
Listen, you can't.
That is our job.
By the way, we're learning now. We just started Khuzar, Rabbi Etzion.
Yes,
doing it from 11:15 to 12:00 every Sunday morning. Last week was the first.
It's a very interesting, very important book. And a lot of times, by the way, the Rav Neugosha has got a beautiful explanation about Khuzari. Unbelievable explanation. He shows you how the whole system, how it works, and how he really proves in
English.
I'm sure there is a translation in English.
Yeah.
I know there is in Hebrew, but I'm sure there is.
Better than English. No, because
I'm sure that you have to check it. I don't know. Rav Neugershal.
All right.
Neugershon.
We have to get this in English first, sir.
Okay, all the best.